Dare to dream, dream, dream. Welcome to the Dare to Dream radio show. I'm your host, Deborah Dashinger. Join me every week as I interview inspiring guests from all walks of life, all ages, all backgrounds, all parts of the world, who had a dream and found a way to make that dream come true. Listen to this worldwide award-winning radio show every week and learn to dare to dream and make your dreams come true. Sit back and enjoy, and welcome.
You can be anything, a rock star, beauty queen, fly with a broken wing, baby, if you dare to dream, dare to dream.
Debbie Dashinger, you are listening to Dare to Dream Radio. And what I absolutely love about this show is, you know, everybody's got dreams, and they're all so incredibly different and yet so meaningful to us. And why I love this show is because we get to feature people who have created their dreams into their reality, often despite odds. And I love where people have come from, what they've gone through, and what they've been able to accomplish in spite of and because of their beginnings. So we're also divinely unique. I want to also give a little bit of shout out to where we're headed with the show, and with more of you, and more of you letting me know that you're listening, letting me know how the show is meaningful to you. I'm going to ask you to write in the comments. You can go to Facebook, Dare to Dream Radio on TV, all the podcast places, all the live radio places, BBS Radio, all the many places the show is syndicated. So I'm asking you, make your love of the show, your interest in the guests known, write something, something. And I'm sure you'll encourage a lot of other people to write too, and I'll be reading those and writing back. So thank you for being here, because the show is here because of you. A little bit later, I am going to be introducing you to somebody who has created a dream. His name is J. Lewis Mills. You might recognize his name. He is starring currently in the NBC TV medical drama show called Heartbeat. So we'll get to hear his story and how he wound up playing Forrester Marcus and a doctor and all of that. And just to start things out, a little bit of appreciation for each of you who has something big you're ready to create, stepping into. It was Mark Nepo who said, every single being has an amazing, unfathomable gift that only meeting life head on will reveal. For many people, we have to actually take a journey through some kind of a barrier, our own self-imposing limited thoughts, something that's terrified about stepping out, something that has full of, this is the biggest one, of course, is doubt and uncertainty. Doubt and uncertainty that we'll ever reach there. And isn't that the most glorious part of the journey when we have a dream to become or be or do something? The glorious part of uncertainty is we, none of us know. It's for all of us a crapshoot. We don't know when we're going to roll the dice, what's going to happen, where we're going to end up. So we have to, in good faith, take that journey anyway, because something is calling us to do it. So there's such a great story about good or bad. And I like to tell this every so often because I think it's a really important story of reflection and of remembrance for all of us wherever we are. So please allow me to share with you now this amazing story. Nothing we create in our lives, nothing we create in our lives can be said to be good or bad. Good or bad, those words are relative value judgments. What is true is that some of our actions work for us and some of our actions do not. And it is up to each of us to choose which actions we prefer. So here's the story. 1,200 years ago, a peasant farmed a plot in the Chinese countryside, and the food he grew fed his family and earned some extra money to carry them through to the next harvest. And the farmer was unable to bring in the harvest alone and depended upon his 15-year-old son to help farm the land. In his 16th year, the farmer's son was working in the field when he fell and broke his leg. This was a disaster for the family. A disaster. Why? Because it was time to harvest the crops. And the son, broken leg, he was unable to work. So much of the food was now liable to rot in the field and to be eaten by the animals instead. This was a very bad situation for the family. Well, about 3 weeks after the son's accident, war broke out in the western provinces. And when the army came marching through the villages to conscript all the men over 14, the boy could not go. The boy could not go because of his broken leg. So with his father and all the local men now gone to war, the women had to find a way to gather enough food to eat. So fortunately for the family, their son had recovered from his broken leg several weeks after the men and the boys of the village had been forced into battle. Well, the son harvested the remaining crops, and he continued farming the land that fed his mother, his two sisters, and some of his neighbors. And when the war finally ended, bad news preceded the return of the militia. Many of the men and the boys from the village had been killed, including the farmer who was the father of the family. So the boy's family gave thanks for the good fortune of the broken leg. You see, appreciation subsumes acceptance. So expressing a deep sense of appreciation for all experiences, including the most painful and the most difficult, means that each of us has the opportunity to accept everything in our life exactly as it looks in this moment. What does acceptance do? Acceptance removes resistance. It releases us from the past and opens us to possibility. So anything that may be befalling you in this moment, whether you give it a value judgment of good or bad, just understand it may be for something else. I can tell you, I can speak to this directly. So I do red carpet interviews, and I do live stream interviews for really large events. I get hired for these really interesting things. I love doing this, by the way. I find it really interesting. And once in a while, I will loan out my talent to help a nonprofit. It is one of the ways I give back, and I really love animals. So I'm going to be helping a nonprofit, and it just so happens that before I go down to do the interviews in a couple of weeks on film, the woman who's running the nonprofit was expressing to me today that she is so frustrated. Many of the people who are on the board who are supposed to be helping her really haven't shown up. And frankly, she's the one who's ended up carrying the ball for this whole thing. And I really listened to her, and I was like, yeah, you got stuck with the bag. That's definitely a bunch of lemonades, and you know, you got to figure out what you're going to do with those lemons. Yeah, lemonade is definitely one of the options you have, but there's another option that's probably even grander, and that is to consider that there may be a reason the universe has aligned you and only you to helm this project, and you do not know in a month or a year, somebody may come into your space with a huge proposal to hire you and say, ah, but have you done anything for nonprofits? And then you will have the ability to say, yes. In fact, let me show you this film we created, all the money we raised, and the good we did. And guess what? You can claim full responsibility for what got created. So we never know, good or bad, good or bad. I hope this example resonates in your life. I know it certainly does in mine. Let us all stop, move out of the way of resistance, accept what is, and understand for great good, it may be there for a reason. And when you move forward in your dream, remember Joseph Campbell said, "The cave you fear holds the treasure you seek." When we judge, we can miss that treasure. I am Debbie Dashinger. I do best-selling books out into the world. So if you've got a book you want to create into becoming a bestseller, guaranteed, visit my bestseller book, as well as I teach radio interview mastery, how to be exquisite on radio, do your media kit, all the coaching and strategy and in between. Go to MediaMasteryRadio.com. Well, today I am featuring the actor J. Lewis Mills, who's currently seen on the hit medical drama Heartbeat on NBC on Wednesday nights. In November of 2013, J. Lewis attended an acting workshop where he met his agent, Gail Williamson from KMR, who works with actors with unique abilities and helps place them in professional acting roles. Soon, Gail started to submit J. Lewis for roles, and professional acting gigs started to come. The call that changed J. Lewis Mills' life was for a new pilot television show on NBC. That audition led to a callback, eventually a test deal, where he finally booked the role of Forrester on the series pilot Heartbeat. And then a week later, he was in Vancouver, beautiful place, shooting as a series regular role opposite Hollywood heavyweights like Melissa George, D.L. Hughley, Jamie Kennedy, and Dave Animal. Besides his work in Hollywood, Jay Lewis has compassion for childhood illnesses, and he engages in charity work with children's hospitals and anti-bullying campaigns. And he's here, Jay Lewis. It is so great to have you on Dare to Dream Radio today. Before we went to break, you were sharing that the opening had great meaning for you, and I thank you for that. I'm grateful, and I'd love to hear from you. What does that mean? What does that speak about your life and where you are right now?
Well, I mean, I totally understand that you're talking about me, but it's still hard for me to really believe that I've been able to make my dream a reality. I had so many people tell me that I couldn't do it, that I was wasting my time. If I would have listened to an acting teacher that I went to go and get some kind of advice from just a couple of weeks before I met my agent, This acting teacher told me that I wasn't ready for any, you know, casting workshops or manager workshops or agent workshops. Mm-hmm. If I would have listened to that woman, I wouldn't be where I am today.
So, well, I got to tell you, that's resilience. I give you a lot of props because, you know, I was an actress for most of my life before I got into broadcast and media, and I have to say, I had the same experience once that devastated me when an acting teacher just said, like, give it up. This is, what are you doing here? And I still remember it to this day. I was quite young at the time. I would imagine a lot of people hear this, and I would imagine that a lot of people listen. The fact that you didn't listen and you carried on says a lot about your character. So you go to this workshop, you meet the woman who's your agent, and what did you think when she started talking about working together and getting you out there for roles?
To be honest, a lot of what Ms. Williamson said to me that night was really a blur. I just couldn't believe that an agent from an agency with the caliber of KMR was even interested in me, because I believed everything that I heard from this acting studio that I was going to before. And I just couldn't believe it. So I hate to say this, but I don't remember a lot of what Ms. Williamson said that night, because I was just so shocked that she was paying me attention.
Yeah, and then somehow, though, you must have remembered the address or the phone number she gave you, because you connected later. And it's pretty quick, isn't it, that she started sending you out, and then here you are. You've landed this role. You got an acting gig on NBC on Wednesday nights. Yeehaw.
Yes, Miss Williamson, I started working professionally, or was officially. I started working officially with Miss Williamson January of 2014. And yes, ma'am, she sent me to a lot of auditions. And, you know, through the grace of God, my talent and my look, I was able to book a lot. It was March of 2015 that Miss Williamson called me. And I haven't told too many people this, but I almost turned this audition down, because it was the middle of March, and I didn't know how I was going to pay my rent for April.
Wow.
And I was more so worried about the short term, what I was going to do for money now. But I almost turned that audition down, and Ms. Williamson told me, she said, I talked him into seeing you. They weren't going to see you. And because she put that much work, and because she believed in me that much, I went to the audition. I had the audition, the callback, and the screen test Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of the same week. We didn't hear anything Saturday. Sunday afternoon, she sent me an email saying that production wants to know if I have a passport. And I said, yes. 6:30 that night, she contacts me and she says, do I know what my passport number is? And I told her, no, I didn't. And she said that I needed to get it to her as soon as I could. I'm so sorry for crying. But she said that I need to get it to her as soon as I could because they gave me the job.
Wow.
And I almost
so
fell
cool.
over because I said, this is it. This is what I've been working for. I didn't have the slightest idea that less than a week after I found out, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 4 days after I found out I got the job, they had me on a plane to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, giving me an opportunity to live the dream that so many people told me I couldn't live. And I will always be grateful for everybody.
How long, Jay Lewis, did you have that dream? How long had it been percolating inside of you that you had this creativity wanting to come out and be an actor?
Well, I did some background work on Waiting to Exhale in 1995. I stood in for Donald Adios and Faison, and I did some background work. And that was the first time I got the acting bug. It was kind of funny. A couple of times I thought that, you know, I was a naive kid. I thought that I looked so good that all I had to do was get to the airport and somebody was going to see me and put me in a movie. Twice, I only made it as far as the airport. I took a plane. I saved my money. And I took a plane from Phoenix, Arizona to Los Angeles International Airport. And once I got to the airport, I said, okay, what are you going to do now? And both times I spent the night in the airport and I turned around and I went home.
That's incredible. That's like the airport is the new Schwab's. Schwab's Pharmacy in the 1940s is like where Marilyn Monroe and all these beautiful starlets were discovered. And it's almost like for you, the airport was the new Schwab's where, gosh, if I could just get there, somebody's going to see this beautiful puss and hire me.
Exactly.
So you spend the night in the airport, and then what happens?
Then I realized, buddy, it's not working out like you thought. And I started getting scared because I'm in a big city, didn't know anybody. So both times I ended up calling friends of mine saying, you know, if you can bring me back to Phoenix, I'll come and work at your restaurant for you. I'll come and work at your daycare. I'll clean up. I'll do whatever you want. I don't want to stay here. And I would go back to Arizona. But I always knew that this was going to be something that I did. I didn't know when. You can look on my Facebook page. Go back to 2013, 2014. I posted back then. Look, people, I know that this is going to happen for me, but I wish it would just hurry up because I'm getting tired. And it happened.
And now you get to go to the airport, this time in Vancouver, only you don't spend the night and fly back home. Someone's coming to pick you up and take you off to a set. So let's talk a tiny bit about that, because you're playing a doctor. First of all, what is a perfusionist? I've never heard that word before.
If anybody has to go in for any type of a surgical procedure and your heart is stopped, you are hooked up to what's called a heart-lung machine. And the heart-lung machine, it basically acts as your heart. It recycles your blood. It recycles the oxygen, puts oxygen in your blood. As well, the perfusionist will also, there are times in certain surgical procedures where there's medication that the perfusionist has to add during the surgery. So the perfusionist does that as well. So basically, the perfusionist keeps you alive while the doctor works on you.
Okay, and this is the character you play, the medical doctor. Is it hard for you to learn the medical lingo for the authority, having the authority to say these words on television?
Well, No, ma'am, for two reasons. I have medical people in my family, so I grew up hearing some of the medical jargon and understanding what some of it was. But what's more, Forrester Marcus is more of a presence than he is a mouth. You know, he is a very perceptive person. And I believe that if you are a very perceptive person and perception is part of what you do in your everyday, you have to be quiet. You can't talk all the time. So Forrester doesn't really talk that much. When he does speak, you do listen. And I got that because I was able to meet Dr. Kathy Magliotto, who our show is done off of her book, as well as it's done off of different situations or cases from her life. But her real perfusionist is a very quiet man. He does his job. When I was able to go and watch two surgeries, and both times, the only time this gentleman spoke was when he was speaking to the doctor or speaking to someone else. So the perfusionist doesn't really have to worry about the jargon so much. And me, for the character, I don't have to worry about it that much.
And what are your relationships like? Here you are with these Hollywood heavyweights, some of whom are pretty funny people, all of whom have been in the acting business for quite some time. What kind of connections are you creating and experiencing?
After being on set in Vancouver shooting our pilot for a week, one of the NBC representatives walked up to me and asked me how long we as a cast knew each other. And I said, we've probably known each other for about a week. And he said, that's amazing, because the chemistry that you all have, you would think that you knew each other for years. It was a little bit trying for me to get out to Vancouver, and everybody that was already in Vancouver had heard about the situation that I was going through. When I first got on set, the first castmate that I met was Miss Melissa George, and she was standing halfway down the hall, and she looked up and she saw me, and she said, oh my God, my Forrester is here. My Forrester is here. And she started running, and she gave me the biggest hug. Now, this is Melissa George. I'm nobody. And she was that happy to see me. So to answer your question, our chemistry on that show is phenomenal, and these people help me out every step of the way.
Wow. Magic. I love hearing this. And I got to say, Jay Lewis, I love your heart. I really do. You are, for me, the epitome of somebody who is just, you're still raw, but just crossed that line into a dream come true. And I love how humble you are. And this is what so many of us feel, the almost unreality reality of, dear God, I'm here. I'm here. I'm actually living this. And it is such a sacred moment. I honor you that you're here and creating this. And I'm excited to see your journey for more and even more. Well, people, stay with us. We have some amazing conversation coming up with Jay Lewis Mills. And we're going to deep dive here. You're listening to Dare to Dream Radio. You can join me after the show at debbiedashinger.com. That's D-E-B-B-I, D as in David, A-C-H-I-N-G-E-R.com. Or on Facebook at Dare to Dream Radio and TV. We'll be back with more in just a minute.
Dare to dream, dream, dream.
When making the decision to hire a coach, find a pro who delivers. Debbie Dashinger is an expert with an impressive platform that gets results. Let go of issues and shift your life into brilliance. Go to www.debbiedashinger.com. That's D-A-C-H-I-N-G-E-R, debbiedashinger.com. Debbie believes that we are each meant to shine our light and fulfill our unique path. Hire a coach who delivers. www.debbiedashinger.com.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
When making the decision to hire a coach, find a pro who delivers. Debbie Dashinger is an expert with an impressive platform that gets results. Let go of issues and shift your life into brilliance. Go to www.debbiedashinger.com. That's D-A-C-H-I-N-G-E-R, debbiedashinger.com. Debbie believes that we are each meant to shine our light and fulfill our unique path. Hire a coach who delivers. www.debbiedashinger.com.
That's interesting. There's so much chatter about you. As new as this show is that you're on, people are intrigued by you. Watchers, audiences, there's so much beautiful chatter about you. And they go back and forth about you, this patch on your eye, not patch on your eye, handsome guy, he's this, he's that. And I loved reading all of it. So I want to go there because I do think it's pretty fascinating that the first big breakout role for you would be something to do with medicine, when in fact, that's a big part of your life growing up. So let's go back to ages 6 to 12, J. Lewis Mills, as a child. How sick were you?
I was very sick. I was so sick that they put me in a medical journal, which was sent around the world for other doctors to read and try and diagnose my problem. I had a blood disease that was called Kawasaki syndrome, and at the time it was only prevalent in the Asian community, so that's why they really couldn't understand why I got it, because there is no Asian heritage in my bloodline. So along with that, I had serious seizures, and I had a very bad bout with stuttering. My stuttering was so bad, I can remember times going to my mother's bedroom door. We had to ask for everything. Anything but water, we had to ask for out of the kitchen. And I remember trying to ask my mother for ice cream, and I couldn't get it out. And I just said, you know what, forget it. I don't even want it. And I just walked away. So I was a pretty sick kid. I was tutored, homeschooled, whatever you want to call it nowadays, from fourth grade all the way up to, we moved to Arizona in eighth grade, when I was in eighth grade. So fourth grade to eighth grade, I was homeschooled because every year I was getting so sick in school that I had to keep leaving, going to the hospital.
So the blood disease is called Kawasaki syndrome. You have major seizures, stuttering, and you miss a lot of school, you're homeschooled. And then in seventh grade, you're able to attend school again with your peers. How was that? How did you adapt to school and connecting again with kids?
When I was that young, I was really too young to understand, you know, the whole connection and the whole chemistry a lot of the kids that I went to school with lived in my neighborhood. So even though I didn't see them at school when we were growing up, we would see each other playing in the neighborhood after they got home from school. And there were times I would just, when I was done with my schoolwork, I would just sit in our living room. We had a very big picture window that looked at the front, and I would just wait for the bus to pull up. And I'm running outside, meeting my friends. But when I did go back to school and I got on the bus, I remember one time my friends just started cheering and clapping their hands and, all right, he's back, he's back, he's back. And, you know, so it was a cool thing. My friends were really cool to me back then.
And you grow older, you start to notice you've got issues with your left eye. There's a dark circle that starts to get bigger. Tell me about that.
I had a job as a telemarketer at this particular time, and I remember my desk was closest to the door, and I was looking out the door, and I remember I looked to the left, and up in the upper right-hand corner of my left eye, I saw what you would think is just like a little dark bubble, and I didn't understand what it was, but gradually over the next 10, 15 minutes, it started getting bigger and bigger to where it wasn't a bubble. I was noticing that my vision was going dark. So I explained to my manager what was going on, and they let me go home. I went home, ended up taking a nap that I just needed to go to sleep, and my body would reset itself. When I woke up, it was like I had to look down in order to see out of my eye. My vision was that much more gone. So I went to the local community hospital in Phoenix, and they did a random test and told me that my retina was detaching and I needed to have it reattached forthwith or else I was going to be without surgery.
Reattachment surgery, was it successful?
That surgery, yes, that was successful, and I was fine. Then a few years later, one of the side effects of having your retina reattached is gaining a cataract. Well, I did gain a cataract in my left eye, and I just could never afford to have it taken out. Didn't know about any free programs or anything, and it wasn't until 2012. That I went to go and try and have it taken out, and that's when the series of bad surgeries started with a couple of different doctors, which led to me losing my vision permanently.
So the patch that you wear, it is for a purpose. It's not just for your character. This is something that you can use anytime in your life and do?
Yes, ma'am. Well, I don't wear my eye patch on the show, so it's never attributed to my character. I wear the eye patch because out of my left eye, I can still see light and shadows. Mm-hmm. And the only way for me to really describe it to your viewers is take a piece of wax paper and put it over your eye and then look towards the sun or look out towards light, and you'll notice how much brighter light seems to be. Well, that's the way it is for my left eye. So I have to wear the eye patch because sometimes I start to get headaches when too much light is there on my eye.
Fascinating. And so that's where your agent Gail comes in and works with people with unique abilities. That this is, and I love the way that's coined, unique abilities indeed. It actually makes you more special. So there's a great place for any and all of us in acting and otherwise, and someone to represent you to get there. And is that part of the relationship you have with her?
It's so funny that you asked me about our relationship. Me and Miss Williamson just had a conversation earlier today, and we established that she is my acting wife. Anything that I need, any advice that I need, any problems, any situations that I have, I know that I can call Miss Williamson at any day, any time of the day, any time of night, and she will always take my telephone call and do her absolute due diligence to help me work through whatever it is I'm working through.
Mm. Wow, what a blessing. It's like
Absolutely.
The universe in balance, you know. You have this acting teacher who tells you, you know, forget it, kid, you're not ready for the big times. You know, what did he know? And, of course, he ain't God. Here you are in such a short
yeah.
time later, and that was not the truth. That was just his very interesting point of view. And it's such grace that you would tell a story that you end up with an agent who celebrates your beautiful uniqueness and on top of it has become a champion for you in your corner. And so you get to have somebody who's nurturing you every step of the way. I love hearing
yep.
that. You know, that really is grace. And I think we'll take a break here. This is Dare to Dream Radio, and I'm just so excited because when we come back, let's find out more from Jay Lewis about inspiration. What does it take to be doing what he does? What kind of rituals or practices keep him staying here and being as connected as he is? If you'd like to know more, join me after the show, DebbieDashinger.com, and we'll be right back.
Dare to dream, dream, dream.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if you're far greater than you've ever given yourself credit for? What if it's time to know the gift and the contribution you are to the world and to like yourself a lot more? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. Asking questions opens doors to infinite possibilities. And it's not about finding the answer. It's about being the question. Always. What I'm inviting you to step into is something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Gandhi, Picasso, and Aristotle all knew to be true. What if no question is too big or too small? What if anything is possible for you? What if together we could create a kinder, gentler, happier world? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for a free video series, My Gift to You. Beingyouclass.com. What if you, truly being you, are the gift and change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
When you walk through the world truly being you, everything and everyone is invited to change. Join Dr. Dane here throughout 2016 in his unique classes on being you. Whether you've been asking for something greater, looking for a way to change your life, or longing to change the world, Dr. Dane's Being You classes crack open a world of ease, joy, and possibilities. For a list of Dr. Dane here's upcoming classes and resources on being you, go to www.beingyouclass.com.
What if you were willing to nurture and care for you? What if you could open the doors to being everything you have decided is not possible to be? Have you always known you're different from the people around you? If you've been seeking something else is possible. To receive more on Access Consciousness, go to tinyurl.com/access change. Is this the change you've been looking for? tinyurl.com/access change. What books are you reading? Are you ready for a must-read? Winner of the Inspirational Book of the Year Award and international bestsellers, Dare to Dream, This Life Counts by Debbie Dashinger, as well as the acclaimed Wisdom to Success, The Surefire Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams. Buy the books from Amazon today. U.S. Book Review and Writer's Digest said these are critics' picks. By Debbie Dashinger, Dare to Dream and Wisdom to Success contain gems to live your life by.
You want to be whole? You want to be healing? You want to live life fully?
Debbie Dashinger, I'm here with Jay Lewis Mills, the actor. And Jay Lewis, is there something you do on a daily basis? Is there any kind of a ritual or a practice that feels like it really grounds you or keeps you connected to why you're here and what you're doing or to the, you know, God of your understanding? What is it that you do?
I hope that this isn't too cheesy of an answer, but it's just the truth. The only way that I stay grounded and remember where I came from is just that. I always remember where I came from. There's a few times that I've caught myself looking around my apartment. I moved into the apartment that I have with just a suitcase, and now I have furniture.
And your two cats, right?
And my two cats, yes.
Okay.
Yes. So the way I stay grounded is just never forgetting. This just as quickly as this was given to me, it can be taken away just that quickly. So there's really nothing else that I do other than just always remembering where I came from before this, right before.
And if you could go back and say anything to your 16-year-old self or 21-year-old self, what would you say? What would you offer?
I would say, look, buddy, you're getting ready to have a long road, but we don't want to change anything, because if we change anything, we're not going to end up where I already know you and I are going to end up.
Keep the faith. So this is Dare to Dream, and you have created a really massive dream thus far, just the beginning. What are you next dare to dream, J. Lewis? What are you next dare to dream, or what are your future goals?
My future goals are to, you know, of course, to keep working, but I believe if I keep working, then that's going to put me on a platform to have a voice. And the only thing and the most important thing to me is to inspire people and help them understand, if you believe in yourself, if you sit down and have that conversation with yourself and ask yourself, what do you really want? If I can just get people to understand that there is so much greatness in them that they have let stay dormant because they listened to other people, whether it be family members or whether it be people outside of your family. Years ago, I had to learn how to take power out of the title of who it was, meaning mother, father, sister, brother, teacher, whoever it was. If people aren't living up to that title that they have, then I think that it's okay for you to just miss them and just start believing in yourself.
Mm.
A lot of people do what is called self-medicating. Well, this is my form of self-medicating. Help yourself understand you can do it because you believe you can do it. And that's the biggest job for me, is to help people understand that. The biggest reward for me is going to be when people come up to me and say, I read your story, I saw your story, you inspired me, this is what I'm doing now. That's the payoff. The glitz, the glamour, big houses, the celebrity, that's not the payoff for me. The payoff is helping other people.
And is it true in your story that at one point you were homeless?
I was homeless for 18 months, on and off, 18 months up until 3 weeks before I got my pilot. And when I say on and off, I mean I did have friends that would let me sleep on their couch a couple of nights, or you know, I had one friend that had a shed behind his house. He let me sleep there. So I was going through that for about 18 months. And the last job that I had before I got my audition for Heartbeat was a Snoop Dogg music video. And one of the men that had something to do with that video let me sleep on his couch. I paid him, of course. He knew when I was getting my paycheck because we worked the same job. So I approached him, and, you know, he did say, I'm human, so I'm not going to let you be homeless. Just come now. I'll know when you get your paycheck, and you just pay me. That happened 3 weeks before my pilot. But before that, yes, ma'am, I was living homeless.
You wouldn't be the first person I've interviewed on this show, I'll tell you. And I've had some pretty remarkable people, including from the movie The Secret, who have revealed the same thing. And, you know, it's amazing just what choices can create and perseverance. So, Bully, for you, who are your inspirations when you talk about TV or film? Are there people who directly inspire you?
Well, yes, I don't want to give the cliche answer, but I am very much inspired by Denzel Washington, mm-hmm. Ving Rhames, Idris Elba, Taraji P. Henson. Those are pretty much, as far as film or television are concerned, that's really who inspires me. While I was homeless, I unfortunately don't remember the gentleman's name, but the gentleman that was in Amistad, I remember his story was he was homeless before he got Amistad. And even though I don't know his name, I thought of him a lot while I was going through my situation because he, again, was another homeless actor. So that's really who my inspiration is.
And your dad, I don't know how much he was in your life, but he was at one point drafted for the NFL. Did that have an outside of that's a cool factoid, did that have an influence in your life at all? And did you become a sports fan or not so much? It was just a really cool thing that people liked.
Yes, it was a cool thing that people liked. Again, as I said earlier, when you're a kid, there's a lot that you really don't notice and realize. So I really didn't realize the lack of a role that my father had in my life because my grandfather was basically my father. When I was a kid, you know, my father was like, I don't want to say he was like a superhero to me, but I saw him so few and far between that I was always excited to see him. And when I did see him, he could do no wrong. It wasn't until I was older that I realized, hey, buddy, you know, you really weren't there for me. So, you know, a couple of situations have to change between us. So I think I answered your question. I hope I did.
Yeah, very much so. What do you know now about creating dreams? What do you feel helped you to create this, whether tangibly or somewhere out in the ethers? But what would you teach or share with us?
Never give up. Never ever give up. I think a person, I know myself, I will go through life much easier if this is the only thing that I do in this city, in film and television. If Heartbeat is the only job I ever have, I can live the rest of my life saying, at least I tried, versus me leaving when that teacher told me that I shouldn't go to any workshops because I wasn't ready. If I would have packed it up then, gone back to Arizona or gone somewhere else, I would always have that what-if moment. I would always watch television. What if that was me? What if I could have been on that show? What if I could have been in that film? So I think it's kind of devastating when you have to deal with that what if, because there's always that question, could I have made it or could I not have made it? And if you're on your journey and you're working hard and you're doing the right thing, I think even if you don't make it to where you want to go, you should have a good time trying because you're doing your love, you're doing your passion, and you're doing what you feel is your craft.
And make it, not make it. Either way, what is it you think inside of you, Jay Lewis, that drives you to succeed?
I was driven to succeed. I hope this isn't taken negatively, but I was driven to succeed because I just got sick and tired of people telling me I couldn't do it. I got sick of people looking down on me, thinking that they were better than me. So I just said to myself one day, sitting up at the Santa Monica Pier. I can show you better than I can tell you how wrong you are about Jay Lewis. And that's what I always held on to. And it was almost like I, in a, not in a literal way, but in a proverbial way, when I would even go to, when I would go to any audition after I had that long conversation with myself, in a proverbial way, I was kicking that door in. And I would say to myself, the people behind the table, they're at the same level you are. They're starting out just like you are. Why are you going to be nervous? Don't be nervous. Show them why you need to be the person that they hire for this job. So my motivation and my eternal flame that will never be extinguished came from me being upset at the way people were treating me and acting towards me.
That reminds me so much of the story, maybe you've heard it too, when activist Jim Carrey was starting out and he could not get hired. And he used to walk, take these hikes and go to the top of some place in Hollywood. And from the crest there, he would sit down and write himself a check made out in his name, Jim Carrey, actor, $20 million. And he was unemployed. And he would sit there and he wouldn't give up and he'd hold that vision and that intention. And as we all know, eventually and rather quickly, once he moved from television to film, he actually started getting paid that $20 million.
Yeah.
So I hear the same story in you going to the Santa Monica Pier and sitting there and having that conversation, you know, almost inviting in the universe to co-create with you, to move you forward to where you really felt you belonged to be. There's a lot of power in that.
Yes, ma'am. There really is. Like, I realized, I didn't know that I had, and I don't mean this in a conceited way, and I hope it's not taken that way, but I didn't realize how much resolve I really had until I got upset, until I got angry. And then it was a mission. It was a literal mission for me to make it because I knew that I could. You know, you really can't go out in society nowadays and say, you know, I'm good at this, I'm good at that, this is what I can do, because we've turned into a society to where if you recognize your own talent, then you're a cocky person, you're a conceited person. You don't say anything about yourself. You let other people say something about you. Well, you know, if that's the case, then you can't think anything about yourself. If you're going to go off of that mindset, then you can't even internally think that way, because you would have people say, well, you might not be saying it out loud, but to think that you're good at something, you're cocky, you're conceited. And I think that's wrong. I thought I was good. I thought I could do this job. It just happened to take NBC to validate, you know, Jay Lewis does know what he's talking about sometimes.
And your cats, what are their names and what do they say about your success right now?
Okay. Well, you have Miss Callie. They're both calico cats. So the first, when I first went, I only wanted to get one. So I brought Miss Callie home. But she has a sister, and they were kittens, very baby kittens when I got them. So when I brought Callie home, I couldn't sleep that night because all I was thinking was, dude, you left her sister there at the adoption place. She doesn't know anybody. The only, and I mean, this is really how I thought about it. The only person she knows is her sister, and you took her sister away from her. So I got up the next morning, and I tried calling the adoption center. And they weren't open yet. They didn't open until noon. So I'm pacing around worried. I hope she didn't get adopted. I ended up calling them back, and she was still there. So I went and picked her up, and she's calico as well. So I named her Miss Callie, or Miss Coco. So I have Miss Callie first, and then I got Miss Coco. Now, I affectionately call Miss Coco the shepherd of the devil because she just has a mean streak that you would not understand. One of my friends told me, she said, you know, Jay Lewis, I think she's a little upset at you because you left her. you came and got her second. So I think she remembers that, so she's making you pay for it. And if that's the truth, then Miss Coco is definitely making me pay for it. But she's a cool chick.
Well, you're a cool cat yourself. J. Lewis Mills, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me, ma'am. I look forward to coming back.
Yes, love to have you anytime. And I end today's show with this quote from Pamela Voll. Reach high, for stars lie hidden in your soul. Dream deep, for every dream precedes the goal. Thanks for tuning in to Dare to Dream. And if you love the show, send it out to your friends, and those you know will enjoy it too. Keep creating your dreams.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to debbiedashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at debbiedashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to debbiedashinger.com. That's www.debbiedashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products, sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing now, waiting for my time to be all that I can be. So easy to forget, life is in my hands, and I can change it if I want. Nothing's impossible.